got to Memphis.
Now I'm in Paris.
Blue suede, Mississippi.
And angels in storm.
Beer on the balcony.
And wine on the terrace.
That won't bring you here to Tennessee.
I'll fly.
You just heard a snippet of the new single, If You Were Here, by multi-award-winning singer-songwriter A.V. Canadian artist A.V. is an internationally recognized singer-songwriter, musician, and producer, whose effortless blends of blues, roots, and soul has recently landed her the nomination as Keyboardist of the Year category at the 2023 Maple Blues Awards at Toronto's Harbourfront Centre in January. A.V. is known for her soaring, powerful vocals, and not far behind that, for her multiple award-winning abilities as a songwriter. She ain't too bad at piano either. Here to talk about her latest single for her seventh album and upcoming tour dates is multiple award-winning soul blues singer-songwriter A.V. Hi, Anne. How are you?
Hi, Kim. I'm really good.
It is so great to have you on the show. Congratulations on your latest single and your album, Everybody Matters.
Thanks. I'll just take it all. Take it all. Pretty. All the accolades I can get.
Pretty cool. Very unique album.
It is unique. You can't argue with that.
Okay, so before we get into talking about the latest single and the album, let's dive in a little bit when it comes to your journey in music so that we can give the fans a little bit of background for you, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, sure. No problem.
Tell me a little bit about you and how you got the music bug to start with in your life.
Ooh, well, I think it was really, really early in life because, I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really, it's only retrospect that you kind of realize these things, but I had a Fisher-Price xylophone, you know, the kind that has mm-hmm. the wheels that you pull along and it's got the rainbow, like every note.
I remember those. There was
rainbow. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I think a lot of people had those. And so did I, and I was picking out songs like nursery rhyme songs and Christmas songs and things like that on this xylophone, like by ear, when I was really young, like I think 3 or something. And my parents were like, maybe we should give our music lessons. And so it kind of started there. And then they started me out in violin because they had friends whose kids were in Suzuki violin lessons. Mm-hmm. And so I started with that. And that method is very based on developing your ear first and learning to read music later. Mm-hmm. So I, to this day, do everything kind of by ear and don't read music very well. But yeah, and then my mom, she always had a piano in the house and she kind of plays to accompany people like at church. She's a good reader and mm-hmm. she was sort of plays the hymns and the bit of classical music. And so eventually I was playing the piano before I really had lessons, you know, because it's not that hard to actually get a sound out of a piano, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. it's a very straightforward instrument in how it's laid out. So I started piano lessons when I was 9, and that's also when I was writing my first songs on piano.
Wow.
So
you had a knack for that right in the beginning for the
songwriting. I guess so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I also wonder in retrospect how much of it had to do with the fact that we didn't have, like, we weren't allowed to watch TV. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my parents also had a really big vinyl collection, and I was taught how to, like, operate the turntable at age 3 also.
Oh, wow.
And I probably did that a lot more than I would have had there been a TV. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm. Surprised that they would allow that at 3 years old because you could scratch those.
You know what
vinyls.
It was? Is because every 20 minutes the record's over because you got to flip it. And so mm-hmm. when you're 3-year-old, every 20 minutes is asking you to flip over the record, eventually you're just like, you know what? How about we just teach you how to do this by yourself?
That's awesome.
So every 20 minutes, we don't have to be bothered. I think I was pretty careful.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly remember being very, 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 very careful gentle when I'm putting the needle down. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I distinctly remember being taught that and just kind of being empowered to play whatever record they wanted. So they all, who knows? Who knows how that all sinks into the brain of a child?
Do you remember a song that stands out in your mind that impacted you emotionally and really...
From the vinyl collection?
Yeah, well, one that may have been from the vinyl, I'm not sure, but one that made you want to pursue music as a career and as a writer. Is there a song that sticks out?
There's not a certain song. I think, definitely I know which record when I was that really young that I listened to the most, that probably thereby influenced me the most.
Hmm.
But there's not a song. There's experiences, I think, that did it. Like, more later as a teenager, where, because I was always writing, after, I was just writing songs all the time, and then, who knows how good they were, probably not very good, but I was always writing just as a thing to do, to keep myself occupied. Mm-hmm. And then as a teenager, it became more about sort of just an outlet for your sort of teenage angst and...
Like journaling in a way.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. getting it out. Like, it's a very cathartic thing to play and sing,
mm-hmm.
and write.
Mm-hmm. Who were the influences? Who was the influence that...
In the teenage years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point I was getting into Bob Marley, quite a lot of reggae.
Oh, nice.
And, the backup. So my parents' record collection was largely classical, which wasn't hugely exciting to me as a kid,
mm-hmm.
but we had all the Raffi records.
Mm.
So that's a very Canadian reference.
Interesting.
I guess.
There.
But in retrospect, I've now... working with a guy, actually, I was texting him just before I called you, who's a children's performer, and his latest album was produced by Ken Whiteley, who's also produced all the Raffi records.
Oh, wow.
And he's a, Grammy-nominated musician. Mm-hmm. Great. And so inadvertently, through all these Raffi records, I realized that probably my biggest influence is Ken Whiteley, at least musically, in the sense of his arrangements. And he really, on those records, there's really a broad range of genres that are
mm-hmm.
touched on,
mm-hmm.
and the musicianship is pretty good for being kids' records. Some kids' records are musically they're very annoying and not really very. but Sesame Street and Raffi, they're up there with, I think, good kids' music.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's that, and then I also, my parents had a bunch of collections, the 70s songwriter kind of Simon and Garfunkel, Cat Stevens.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that in your
Gordon
music.
Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those three really stood out to me.
Is there a song by Gordon Lightfoot or Cat Stevens that you really liked?
Yeah, well, Gordon Lightfoot, I love If You Could Read My Mind.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got to perform that, and it's just it gives me chills every time.
Wow.
And then Cat Stevens. Oh, there's so many. He's mm-hmm. such a great songwriter. The T for the Tillerman album is amazing. And then Simon and Garfunkel, The Bridge Over Troubled Water album, I know it upside down and backwards. That's
so
probably the
I.
one I
yeah.
listen to the most.
Such a good
album. I know the songwriter. I could, to date, list you the songwriter mm. on that record. Now when I hear a song from it and the song that doesn't come next on the record doesn't come next, and I'm like, that's wrong. it's so ingrained in me what comes to hear even the order of the songs
and it's so funny too, because at this day and age, very, very few people in this generation listen to an album from front to back.
Yeah, or albums at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the era of the single. Honestly, had it not been for grants and how that all works in Canada, I wouldn't have made my last album an album. I would just continue. I had put out a bunch of singles before that. Mm-hmm. And, they go on the radio and then you work the single and you have the video and, it's really mm-hmm. the album as a sort of a distinct collection of songs that are supposed to kind of belong together is kind of an old school thing.
Well, the thing is that when I listen to this album from front to back, when I listen to it, it reminds me of something that I had read with you and how your parents encouraged you to have a voice and care about your surroundings and the communities around you. Tell us about drawing on that inspiration for writing and how the gospel and the different styles of music, 70s folk, as you said, and pop, really struck a chord with you to write the kind of music that you do.
Well, yeah, my parents are very ideological and quite religious, and in not just in a sort of a ritualistic way, but in sort of applying it to like everything they do in life kind of thing. So there's that. And then I think also now I've been living in this neighborhood in the inner city of Edmonton for, it will be 15 years this month. And it's a very hard neighborhood to live in next, honestly. It's really, especially since the opioid crisis hit about 10 years ago, has just, there's a lot of misery and suffering that is really, really evident in just drug addiction and drug dealing and gangs. And like just yesterday, there was a big takedown of a drug house down the street from me, which has been a
Oh,
drug house for the
wow.
entire time I've lived here. And there have been many takedowns. I don't really know what they achieved, to be honest, because it's
Yeah.
like shooing away pigeons, really. But it's just a place where there's a lot of shelters and resources for people who are suffering from various things like that. But also it keeps them sort of trapped here too, including in the predatorial nature of some of the
Yeah.
dealers and the gangs and the pharmacies and things like that. So it's kind of like for these people, it's a jail without walls in a way.
Oh, wow. So that's
So it's,
tough to see.
yeah, and
Yeah.
it's so hard to see all the sort of really sad scenes, and especially when it comes to, underage people and the prostitution and trafficking and all the sort of way that people are preyed on when they're vulnerable, and how, despite the vast amount of shelters and resources, that it still doesn't seem to address that sort of safety and danger and trauma that people go through every day. It's really hard to watch. And then you try to get involved, and then, of course, I'm not a social worker or a nurse or a politician, or like I'm not, write songs. Like I don't have spirit. Like I'm not really how much I should stay in my lane, But then also I'm a person, and I see the suffering, and so it's hard. It's really hard. Like there's not a day that goes by that something's heavy on my heart about it. And then there's things that are just frustrating logistically. Like there's no sanitation for these camps and all these people living outside. So
Is that
has
what
the snow
led
melt.
to this album? And
Exactly. Like this album is definitely 100% like the whole subject matter. The album artwork is a picture of a home in the River Valley of, like which I took as a photograph. Well, I didn't take the photograph, a photographer did, but I, wanted to use that particular photo, and also because it's the like it's of a throne, but a sort of looking chair. I don't know if you've seen that
I
artwork or
have,
not.
yeah.
Yeah, so people, his whole project, the photographer, was just exploring how people tried to make their sort of shelters homey and theirs, and and
The
not
simplistic things that
well.
they have in their life, and being very satisfied with that, but being very creative with that.
Yeah, and also just like the same ways that we all do when our spaces that we live, and some of us are lucky enough to have walls and doors that lock and everything and warmth, but everyone does it. And so I think it's kind of a way to remind the rest of us that we're all, human, and there's not an othering that, like the othering is, it needs to happen less as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe like when you're looking at this, it's like you're kind of taking down the walls for people to take a look inside to
Yes.
deal with so many of those issues, and it's frustrating. Very, very
It's
frustrating.
very frustrating because you're right. Like it's just a matter of time before some kid is caught in the gang, like crossfire. There's a lot of kids in this neighborhood, a lot of young families.
Yeah, and that's frustrating. And as human beings, for us to see that and not do something and
Yeah.
afraid to approach those subject matters, and what can we do And the more the kids know and knowledge, the better. And they're better armed to be able to survive and cope in those types of environments, right?
Yeah. And but yeah, what happens around here is it becomes normalized, unfortunately. Like, you just worry that for kids, you're just what's their normal is actually really not very healthy at all.
No.
You know?
Well, the poverty too, right? It's just to make rent today, just to find a place that you could even keep a roof over your head, let alone anything else.
Yeah, like a lot of the people, exactly that. Like, there's a mix between who's using drugs and who's dealing drugs, and who's sleeping in a house that's unsafe. All that kind of thing. Like, it's very mixed up in many things. And is our problem. It's our fault of our attitudes towards it. So that's the way that I'm. Okay, I'm not a social worker. I'm not a nurse, but I am a musician, and I do have a platform somewhat to
bring that to the forefront.
Yeah.
Is that why you stripped it all back too? Is that a part of the reasons why you completely stripped that back? I think there's only, what, 3 musicians that play on this?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons. I mean, musically, the subject matter, lyrics, you know,
needed to stand out.
But musically, I actually, it was, I guess subconsciously, maybe I wanted it to be sort of more raw, but also, I had been touring just before I made the album. I was doing this big, like, 8-week long tour in Europe, and I was, you know, keeping the cost down. So I only had 3 of us. And people came to the merch table asking if I had recordings of what, like, the instrumentation and the personnel of what they had just seen. And unfortunately had to say, no, I don't at that point. And so I was like, the next tour, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have an album with what, you know, what they're asking for. And then I made that. And then as I made the album, the pandemic came. So I did not, it was very postponed, but I eventually did bring that back to them as an album.
Well, that's good. Like, you worked with producer Chris Burkett. Tell us about working on the album with him.
Yeah, he's such a great guy. He's very, very knowledgeable and experienced, and old school. Like, he's you know, from doing analog recordings way back in the day to, you know, recordings now. And he's very, very gentle and respectful guy. We got introduced through a guy who used to share an office with him, who had been a promoter that had put on some shows for me. And he said, you know, I think you would get along with Chris, and Chris is a, I think your values will align, and he's a great guy. And so I had coffee with him, and by the end of the coffee, I was like, oh yeah, let's do this record together. And so he engineered it, and we sort of co-produced the record. And I, you know, it was all kind of my vision, and I hired the people that I wanted to hire, and he recorded, did all of the sort of technical recording end of it. Co-produced the vocals with me and the keys with me, and that's how it all came together.
Very cool, because the songs really, as we've been speaking on, you know, very graphically when it comes to the sad realities of poverty and the homelessness and addiction, and bringing that to the forefront, celebrating empowerment. So tell us about, we're going to go through a couple of the songs, but the two that we're going to be playing is Everybody Matters, because that is the title of the album. We want to talk about that. So tell me a little bit about writing that one.
Yeah, well, I guess I was sort of in a mood where I was just frustrated with, you know, all this sort of neoliberal attitudes of like, oh, yes, you know, it's like Black Lives Matter and these lives matter. And I actually wrote it before the big Black but it was leading up to it, right before then, and the Me Too movement had just happened, and I was like, okay, this is good progress and everything, but like, we still have so much further to go. And I was thinking about when in the news and you hear about, oh, this disaster happened, and say like 6 people died, and you know, 6 people is always still 6 too many. But in the meantime, in the back of the newspaper, there's these some like earthquake in Nepal, and like thousands of people would have died, and it would just be.
They don't make the news. Yeah.
It would barely make the news, and, and it wouldn't be on Facebook, and it would just seem like, well, if we really believe in everybody matters, like, oh, there's equality and value of life on planet Earth, then it seems strange that you'd have like a disaster. Obviously, closer to home disasters that are geographically closer to you are going to feel more impactful than something mm-hmm. that is out of the world. But we are in a global village now, and if we are all truly brothers and sisters, then mm-hmm. it's kind of a big deal in South. Like, way more people than 9/11 just died in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
like so much more, like 10 times more. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that we're still talking about 9/11 today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be talking about this earthquake in Turkey. I just, you know what I mean? And it just seems odd to me. So it was kind of that, about just sort of questioning our own society. I mean, like, do you really walk the walk?
So we are going to play this one right now. Here is Everybody Matters by soul and blues artist A.V. here on Music's Journey.
Everybody matters, no matter who you are. Some die starvation, some get life support. Hey, everybody matters, so some a little more. 58 die here, 10,000's where it's for. Some make the headlines, others just the final door. Hey, everybody matters, just some a little more. Say you want to see things for always it won't work here. Don't like slavery, cause I'll call that over there. Hey, everybody matters, just some a little more, just to be clear. You gotta get ahead. You can feel it to your core. See it everywhere you look now. At the banks and the billboards. Till you can barely make it. Just some a little more. So you wanna be righteous. Follow the good Lord. You got peace for all. Achieved by the sword. Oh, yeah, everybody matters. Just some a little more. Yeah, everybody matters, to some a little more. Oh, everybody matters, in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, everybody matters, to some a little, some a little, some a little. Everybody matters, oh, some a little more. Everybody matters, oh, some a little more. Everybody matters.
That was Everybody Matters, the title track and the first single from the album by my very special guest, award-winning soul and blues artist A.V. Do you have a favorite on this album?
Somebody else asked me that recently too. No, I really don't. Like,
because each
nice
one matters. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, everybody matters.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I really had the luxury. I mean, there's got to be a silver lining even to a pandemic, and my case there's a few, and one of them was that I got to work on the album way longer than I would have had I had to have it ready on the tour that I was supposed to be having in 2020, which got postponed like 3 times and didn't happen for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I got to kind of sit on the songs and take a break from them and come back to them a few times and tweak them and tweak the mixes and do these kind of things that and other album cycles I haven't always had a chance to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Including that I sort of redid the drums and percussion like a couple of times until I finally was happy with it. So I didn't really let anything out the door that I wasn't happy with on this record, which is really the first time I could truly say that.
Spend the time to do everything that you want to do.
And
when you have the time, which is very rare, but that's the one thing with the pandemic that a lot of artists were able to do.
I'm actually really happy with some of the remixes that I've been able to have too, because this, like, as we were discussing, the album is very stripped down and very rootsy and not thereby really something that would fit on commercial radio. But I've had some remixes done of a couple of the tracks, and I'm really happy, especially with how the one for If You Were Here.
That's the one we're going to be talking about right
out.
Now.
Okay, because that one, I'm just really, really happy with the remix of it. I mean, I'm happy with the original too, but...
Does the remix have the Calgary artist Jory as well on
there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. the same vocals. Well, we actually had to redo the vocals because we sped the song up quite a bit. But the same person, and he's going to be on tour with me. We're leaving on a tour on Sunday for 5 weeks.
Oh, wow. Because I knew you were heading out pretty soon, so.
Yeah, it's really soon. I'm trying not to have a heart attack before I go.
Well, Jory's got a very rich and, like, he's got a very rough edge to his vocal.
Yeah.
And yours is so powerful.
I love his voice. And when I met him, I met him at least, I don't know, probably almost 10 years ago now. And we've done quite a bit of collaborating off and on. And, but I had in my head when I was making this album that I've always wanted to find the right duet partner for this song, because this is this song I actually released a different version of it on an album 10 years ago with the guy I wrote the song with. But this, when I heard, I was like, if I get a chance to re-record this story, he's the perfect voice for it. So I did, and he was cool to do it. So he's got almost like a Otis Redding kind of voice.
I can hear that. Definitely. Tell us about writing the song, the lyrics, and the story behind it.
Well, yeah. So a long time ago, I was in Memphis at a music conference, and I was hanging out with a person I had only recently met a few months earlier. His name is Matt Epp, and he's a songwriter from Canada too. And we hit it off, and we were hanging out, and it was this music conference. It was at a Folk Alliance conference. I don't know if you're familiar with Folk Alliance.
Absolutely.
But they have all these official showcases and kind of conference things in the day, and then in the evening they have unofficial showcases in hotel rooms on two floors of the hotel where people host these things, and it's really intense. Everybody is doing it at the same time, and all these floors, and it was, and all these people bringing instruments, you know, here and there, and it's super crazy and chaotic. And it was so crazy and chaotic that the elevators are just super slow because people are trying to use the elevators so intensely. So everyone was using stairwells, and the stairwells were these completely concrete stairwells that had, so they had a lot of natural reverb and were super echoey. And Matt and I just started playing this wordless song that had this minor melody, sort of haunting minor key melody. And people that were coming past with their instruments would come and go and kind of add a verse and join in here and there if they weren't in a rush to go somewhere. And so I recorded that, and we built a song on it later.
Oh, very cool.
We're sort of nostalgically thinking about Jeff Buckley because we're both big fans of his, and he drowned tragically in the arm of the Mississippi River that our hotel was overlooking.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right on the border to Arkansas. So we sort of had that on our minds, and we were sort of like wishing that he was still with us on earth and had given more than the couple albums that he did before he passed on. And so, and then later Matt came through on tour to my house in Edmonton, and we finished writing the song just before we started a tour together across Canada. So it kind of got its start in Memphis and its finish here at my house.
Very cool. Well, we're going to play this one right now. Here is If You Were Here by multi-award winning soul and blues artist AV here on Music's Journey.
Ooh. I got to Memphis.
Now I'm in Paris.
Blue suede, Mississippi.
An angel
on the balcony.
Wine on the terrace.
That won't bring you here to Tennessee.
I'll fly you to Paris. Ooh. 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 I wish you were here. Chandelier and coattails.
Sister, let the juke join.
Cigarettes and candlelight.
Velvet and sweat.
These are a few of my favorite things. You lure me with music, but only you make me sing. Ooh. 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 I wish you.
That was If You Were Here by my very special guest, multi-award-winning artist A.V., featuring Jory Kincho, the lead track for her 7th album, So Everybody Matters. The song was penned in dedication for Jeff Buckley, who drowned in the river nearby, and was originally released in 2012. Don't forget you can download Everybody Matters on all your streaming platforms, and you can add it to your playlist, and you can share it. You can also request it at your local radio station. You released a video for the song too, so tell us about making the video.
Yeah, well, the video was started when the pandemic restrictions were such that we couldn't actually kind of get together and film it. So the videographer, the editor, just had me send him a ton of photos from touring and from my life and being on the road and videos and stuff. And he edited them all together into this video. And then later when the restrictions lifted, I actually flew to Toronto and to do some shows, and he filmed me playing the piano a little bit, but most of the footage is kind of like almost a scrapbook photos of things. And, you know, with sort of the idea of the nostalgia of missing people and being away from the ones you love and that kind of theme.
Very cool. Very cool. The one thing we do have to mention too is your porch concerts, 60 Sundays. So tell us about that.
Well, yeah, so it was all geared up. 2019 was super busy for me, and I had some really great tours that produced some really great results. And
was really gearing up for 2020 to be this sort of big breakthrough year, except for that it wasn't due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so rather than going on this big tour and releasing the album, I was at home, stuck at home like everybody else. And but, you know, I met in the neighborhood where I live, and on my street, I'm one street in from two major, like a major sort of like hub where all the shops are and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of foot traffic past my front porch day and night, 24/7.
Cool. 'Cause that's where you did it, right?
Yeah. So I just realized about a month in, after not playing for a month for anyone, and I was totally uninspired to do the online thing. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't into that. So I realized that, well, no, I could actually just pop my keyboard on the front porch and sound system and just play, which I did one Sunday. And I messaged a few friends in the neighborhood, and then, like I said, there's just lots of people walking by. And so I kind of took the idea from the people in Spain and Portugal and places where people were doing all those sort of songs out their windows when they were, you know, stuck. And I was like, oh, well, I could do it just right here. And so I did. And the result, I mean, people very warmly received it. And then the next week I did it again, and more people came. And one of my friends who'd sung backup vocals for me in 2019 came, and we realized she could be on the porch more than 2 meters away, safely physically distant. Mm-hmm. And so she started performing with me every week, and her family started coming out because it's the only way they could really see each other because their parents are elderly. And it sort of became a thing, and it just grew. And by the summer, it was like a multi-artist thing, like the whole afternoon, you know, and tons of people were coming out, and
that's awesome.
it became a every Sunday thing to do. So between 2020 and 2021, we put on 60 concerts.
Every Sunday. That is so cool.
Every Sunday that the weather allowed. Obviously, I live in Edmonton, so we were not doing it in minus 30.
I definitely.
And then there were some, you know, there's sometimes when even the restrictions were so strict that we couldn't even do that. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. There were some Sundays that we couldn't for those, one of the two reasons. But could, we had rain or shine, like no matter what, we were doing it.
Very cool. Very cool. Awards that were just held in Toronto, and that was on January 30th. And that was the Maple Blues Awards.
Yeah.
You were nominated, and that was for the Keyboard Player of the Year. So
that's right. Yeah.
Must have been pretty, pretty awesome to be able to take part in all that.
It was.
Because you're performing too, right?
I felt a little sheepish, but I mean, of all the things to be nominated for, I didn't see that one coming, but, you know, I'll take it.
Take everyone you get, girl. Everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly the attitude I had toward it. I consider myself a songwriter first and a singer second, and then a distant third would be the keyboard.
See? All that paid off so well, didn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. So I don't awesome. Consider myself some virtuosic piano player. I write on it, and I do play it, you know, like I accompany myself on it, but I'm not somebody known for their flashy, amazing keyboard, you know, playing. And definitely there are people in that category who are. So it was kind of relieving almost that the award went to them for me. But it was nice to just kind of be included in that whole scene. And
very cool.
I was happy to win a couple songwriting awards in that scene in the last 5 years or so. So mm-hmm. It's really nice. It was really nice. And it was nice to be able to perform there and go nice. Down and make a trip out of it.
So tell us about the tour, because you're heading out on Sunday. So tell us about this 5-week tour.
Well, yeah, it's in Europe, mostly Germany, with some Swiss dates and French dates too.
Ooh, a place that you've done so well.
Yeah, Germany has been very good for me. Mm-hmm. Just kind of lucked out there and have a good team there. So, yeah, and Jory's coming and his brother Callie. And then I've got a drummer in France that will be joining us as well.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Canadians that travel out there. And
yeah, well, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the population is so much bigger and closer together mm-hmm. than here in Canada. So
we have a lot of listeners there.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, I'm excited. We're playing some really cool places on this tour, and it's the first time I've brought I'll have a quartet. I've always had either a trio or a duo, mm-hmm. or solo, but four is but I'm so excited because all the musicians are just ace, and it's just going to be musically really satisfying. And we have a lot of shows. We have very few days off. I think we have like 5 days off in 5 weeks.
Ooh.
So it's really intense.
That's why you're going to need that's why you're gonna need that time. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Getting your rest before you go, because being jet-lagged and all that stuff too.
Man, mm-hmm. I'm trying to, it's pretty intense right now.
I bet, with all you got going on over there. Yeah. Because you've been one of the only independent artists in recent history to break into the top 100 pop charts on the commercial radio in Germany. And you know, a lot of people don't really realize that Germany is the world's fourth largest music market.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And
you had a top spot, number one spot too, right?
Well, it went to number one in some stations overall, or one station anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, spread out through the whole country, it only got to like number 58.
Okay, 55. But that's still pretty good. That's really
good. But yeah, I'll take what I can take, mm-hmm. you know, considering that all the other artists are major labels, like, you know, the major ones, Universal, Warner, mm-hmm. you know, Sony. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like quite recognizable names for the most part. So mm-hmm. with, you know, very big promotional teams behind them and money. So
mm-hmm.
I've got an amazing radio promoter over there.
Oh, that's awesome. They always, they do so much work for independent artists.
Yeah, it's tireless.
Yeah, it's a great team.
It's tireless.
Mm-hmm. That's all
I would find it tiring.
Mm-hmm. You need help. You need to have a good team that you're working
with. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's, you cannot do these things alone. It's just
Not possible today. Okay. So you got the 5 week tour. You're back after that. Is there anything else that you can share with us that's coming up this year?
Well, I started a group on the front porch called AV and the Inner City. So that started joining me weekly, as just sort of like a thing.
That was the documentary that you guys did too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you find the song Don't Wait and Google it on YouTube, there's a whole like 10-minute documentary about that whole thing happening. So we are actually going, we were in the studio yesterday, we're going to the studio tomorrow before I leave because I don't have enough to do. And we have some festival dates in Canada lined up for the summer. So where that group is sort of just formed on through the porch concert experience, and now we've showcased in Toronto and done all that kind of stuff and putting an album together.
Very cool. So where can fans get the most information? Tell them where they can go.
Well, my website has everything. So annvrien.com, annvrien.com. And it has a tab about the Inner City specifically, as well as stuff all about me, bio, videos, everything like that.
Perfect. Well, we look forward to it. We'll have to keep an eye out for it when you get back.
Yep. Yes. So I have my work cut out for me. I will not have a lazy year.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
after COVID, that's a good thing.
And now, not again.
Well, congratulations on this album and your latest single. And I really hope you have a fantastic trip in Germany.
Me too. It's mm-hmm. going to be an adventure, that's for sure.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
And yeah, thank you.
Look forward
thank
to
you
having
for
you again.
Your thorough research.
Oh, I always do. That's one
well,
thing
that's
I always
awesome.
Do.
I appreciate it a lot.
You take care. Have a safe trip, okay? And hopefully everything goes well with your the roof and all the stuff going on before you have to leave.
Me too.
Okay.
Holes in your house, not good.
Not good. All right, you take care, okay?
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, multi-award-winning soul and blues artist, A.V., for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I'm going to be interviewing Tennille Towns, Gore Bamford, Madeline Merlot, Jamie Warren, Sean Hogan, Samuel Harness from NBC The Voice. Samuel is going to be a contestant on the upcoming future episode in the auditions for the hit series American Idol. So we're going to watch out for that. We've got Jay Coote, winner of The Voice. He is back with another special song. I'm going to be chatting with Devin Cooper, David James, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Chicago, Rock Icons Stampeders, The Rock Icons Lighthouse for our rock series. Griffin Palmer, Ty Wilson, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.